Hey, it's Chaz and AJ.
Hello.
Thank you for listening to our podcast.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoy it. And please subscribe, comment, share, do all those things that make us look good.
And be nice.
Thank you. Phil Myers is on. He wanted to talk about movies. So you got Fast X. You got Indiana Jones not doing too well.
Right.
I can't.
Yeah.
And Martin Scorsese getting a 9-minute standing ovation for his Western.
Oh.
Hey, Joe.
Good morning, guys.
Hey,
how are
good
you?
Good morning. Are you surprised that Fast X made, what was it, $67
million? No. I mean, actually, that's a little less than the last one did. But the big news on Fast X is that it's a huge hit in China. Hollywood has been concerned about China because they've had less interest in our movies in the last year or so because they've learned how to make their own blockbusters. But this movie actually did more in China over the weekend than it did in this country. It did $78 million.
Oh, ooh. By because of Jason Momoa. That guy's popular everywhere. Well, yeah, if there's a lot of females in China, there you go.
Right.
And you know, Fast X is... It isn't exactly a plot-heavy movie.
No, it's not.
Just nonstop action. So it's the kind of movie that plays well anywhere. You know, you're not going to miss much of the, quote, story, you know, in translation or whatever. And, you know, it's just one spectacular stunt after another. Frankly, I went to a matinee over the weekend, and the story is pretty hard to follow, and they bring so many characters in, you know, past and present. They have a new character played by Alan Ritchson, the guy who played Reacher on Amazon last year, very good actor.
Right.
And Charlize Theron is in it, and Rita Moreno comes in as Vin Diesel's grandma.
Oh, you know, I was going to say, definitely not a love interest.
Oh, that'd be funny.
Helen Mirren is back as the, you know, British gangster lady. You know, so it's one of those movies you just have to sit back and let it sort of wash over you.
Put your mind on hold, yes.
Absolutely. It's crazy. But, you know, for what it is, for what people expect, you know, it delivers. It's sort of like the James Bond movies. You know, you know what you're getting into. They follow a formula, but they do it on a spectacular scale. You know, and once again, there are crazy things like a car going down, I think, the side of the Hoover Dam. You know, just the last movie, of course, topped everything by having one of the cars go into outer space. They don't do anything quite that crazy in this movie.
Fast 9, yeah.
But, you know, I admire that, where people deliver what audiences, you know, are expecting. It's, you know, it's not going to win Oscars, but it's a summer popcorn movie.
I was surprised to hear that it was like 300 and something million to make. And I thought, that doesn't seem like a lot of money for the amount of special effects that they have.
Right.
Well, you know, who
just
knows?
Just the cast, even alone, too.
Right. Yeah.
Apparently, it's the 8th most expensive movie ever made, you know, whatever that means. They have all these statistics in Hollywood. But yeah, who knows what, you know, and I'm sure they probably spent another $100 million on promoting it all over the world. You know, an advertising campaign for launching a movie simultaneously in every country in the world has to cost a fortune.
Damn.
You know, it was big in Japan. It's big everywhere. Big in Japan, Mexico. It had huge record-breaking grosses. So, I mean, and the exit scores are apparently pretty strong. You know, the fans who went liked it, so they weren't disappointed. So
how did it end? Well,
usually the bad guy dies.
Well, I'll tell you, it's one of those movies where you have to watch the end credits because they tease
Fast 11
stuff that's probably going to Dwayne Johnson comes back, and you know, it again, very, very complicated, almost convoluted storyline, but do stay for the closing credits because there's key material in there.
Fast X1. Yes.
Any main characters die?
No. It just came out. You're like, give me all the spoilers.
You know, right. they're not doing a James Bond here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the last James Bond, where we were so shocked by it. No, I mean, but it has almost too many characters, I must say. There's, you know, John Cena is in it, you know. And,
yeah.
And it's just packed. Michelle Rodriguez is back, of course, as Vin Diesel's wife. But, I mean, there are so many double crosses, triple crosses, you know, the agency, which is this nebulous, you know, overseer of what their activities are. It's come a long way from the days of them just doing street races.
Right, and hijacking trucks.
Yes.
Yes. Now it's an agency.
So were you watching it, Joe, were you watching it and thinking, hey, man, let's talk, let's see some stunts?
Was I watching it?
As you were watching it, did you think, hey, less talking, more stunts?
More action, yeah.
No. This movie is just one stunt after another.
Usually every one of them movies starts with something spectacular on the screen.
Like a James Bond. Yeah. You got to open up with something.
It's like, boom.
We'll get your attention right now.
You know, again, like the recent John Wick movie, you know, the stuntmen deserve all the honors. You know, I mean, the danger that is undertaken doing this, you know.
If you had a choice between John Wick and Fast 10, which one would you recommend?
I would probably lean towards John Wick.
I was going to say John Wick all day.
I would too.
You know, it's a little more story oriented. I favor Keanu over Vin, you know, so but again, if you're a fan of the Fast movies, you'll enjoy this.
All right, then Indiana Jones.
Big problems with Indiana Jones. They made the decision to have a special screening at Cannes last week and honor Harrison Ford. He got a special prize from Cannes. But the movie doesn't open until the end of June, and the reviews have been really bad.
Uh-oh.
So, I mean, that's a bad PR situation where a month before you're going to really open the movie, bad buzz is all over Twitter. I haven't seen a good review of it on Twitter from the people who covered it at Cannes. I mean, they're saying it's 2.5 hours long, bad plotting. People don't seem to like the leading lady, this British gal, Phoebe. I forget her name, actually. She was in the show Fleabag on Amazon.
Fleabag?
A very popular show.
Phoebe Fleabag.
Now, hold on, guys. That actually was a popular show Amazon. A comedy, but so people are not liking it at all, and they just say the plot is convoluted. You know, in the last one,
Harrison Ford got into a spat with some reporters about the de-aging in the film.
Yeah,
at Cannes, he's mad about it.
He said, "If I could make a fist, I'd punch you right now."
Sounds like something he'd actually say.
Somebody make my fist.
Chewie, take him out. Chewie died 10 years ago. Damn it!
And wrong movie.
I think it'll probably do okay because, you know, people have such affection for the franchise and for him, but it'll probably be one of those things where, you know, the opening weekend is big, and if it is as bad as the Cannes indications are, then I would think word of mouth might, you know, hurt it. But
man, the first few were so good.
Yeah.
They're just so good.
Amazingly good.
All of these top people, yes. Spielberg, Lucas, Harrison Ford, all at the right in their sweet spot of their careers. Like those movies are so good, so original,
right? So
original, but also classic Hollywood, good and evil, not complicated. Like you were saying, Fast 10's too complicated.
Yeah,
this one's black and white. Like Darth Vader's black, Stormtrooper's white. It's like
this is our good guy. The whole movie.
Yeah,
follow him.
Well, the new one's called Indiana Jones. Where was I going?
Why did I come in this room?
Where are the kids? Indiana Jones, and get off my lawn.
Indiana who?
Where's Indiana?
Well, you know, they don't know when to quit. That's the problem with Hollywood.
Problem, yes.
These franchises and these, quote, intellectual properties, they just want to keep, you know, it's like what Disney did with Star Wars. It's like enough already.
They're already rebooting the character.
Did you see Guardians of the Galaxy 3, Joe?
I did not.
Okay. Because John wanted to know what you thought of it.
Oh.
I've heard mixed from the friends of mine who saw it. I've heard very mixed things. A couple of them liked it, but many of them said it was too dark.
Oh, couldn't see.
You know what happens is that was so unique when it came out.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's
the
like, all right,
we've. It was so much fun.
Exactly. Because it's like, I haven't seen anything like this before. This is cool.
Yeah. Nope. And the music was great, you know, that they found all those pop songs that they used really well. But, yeah, I haven't caught up with that one yet.
Yeah. Okay. I saw it. The music is still great. James Gunn spent a lot of time complaining about how his characters from the Guardians movies were treated throughout, like, the Endgame and Infinity War saga.
Yeah.
He's like, I mean, you left me with a lot of questions to answer for the next movie before we, like, get into the story. Yeah. So they focused on Rocket the Raccoon. So the biggest complaints are that there's a lot of on-screen animal abuse. And it's like comic book violence, but you know, because it's animals, I think people are having a really hard time with it.
Oh, get over
it's
it.
Hard. No, it's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough.
No, it's rough.
It's not real.
You can it's not real.
Wait.
Does it make it not tough to watch?
No.
Wait. What are we watching? Are we watching a fake raccoon?
Yeah.
It's more than a raccoon. A lot of animal abuse. A lot of animal
abuse. Like when you say abuse.
Like what kind of abuse?
What? Like they've died in a space battle?
Has a drinking problem? What?
It's like, you know, you got a dog in space.
Not even a garbage can.
You're watching the cartoon.
Right.
It's a cartoon. I know. I had no problem separating that. I enjoyed the movie. There are people that can't, and they have a really hard time watching it.
Then they shouldn't watch it.
They humanize all the animals, right? Like, they give them cute voices and names, and then, like, when something terrible happens, like, it feels like it's an innocent thing, and people are having a really hard time with it.
Phil,
yeah, maybe they. Yeah, you know what? They forgot who their audience is. Their audience is they want to go and be happy.
Right.
And we're Disney people.
Yay.
We like happy endings.
Yay.
Why are our characters dying?
Oh, my God, they're dying.
I can handle one death per movie.
Well, of a bad person.
I'll say this for anyone who's been on the fence about it. There is a happy ending, but it's a tough ride to get there.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, they should replace the Hollywood song with a dead horse.
All right, then Martin Scorsese with that 9 minutes standing up.
Yeah, I mean, that movie, that's the opposite of Indiana Jones. It had a 9-minute standing ovation. It's a movie called Killers of the Flower Moon. It's a Western. It's about white people taking advantage of Native Americans in Oklahoma over the oil rights there. And people are saying it's Leonardo DiCaprio's best performance, you know, but the problem with that movie is there's all these great reviews coming out, but it doesn't open here until October 20th. So, but they're going to have to redo all the PR then. It seems kind of weird that they would do that so far in advance, but no, I have not. Unlike Indiana Jones, I have not read a single bad thing about Killers of the Flower Moon.
Is that going to be released in theaters, or is it going to be?
Oh yeah, yeah. It's an Apple production, but they're going to do a full theatrical release, and it looks like they're going to push it, you know, as a major Oscar contender at the end of the year.
I watched the trailer yesterday, and I wanted to watch the movie right after I watched the trailer.
Like, immediately.
I know.
Yeah. They did such a great job. Yeah.
It's
really?
Yeah.
I thought it was annoying. Yeah. It was just him saying, "Can you find the wolves in this picture?"
Yeah.
It's like, okay, I heard you the first time.
Are you playing?
He's still looking for wolves.
Are you playing?
17 times later, 2 minutes later, "Can you see the wolf?" It's like,
I know the question.
Maybe it's like, "Where's Waldo?"
I want to go to the movies with you. What are we doing here? Trailers?
But people are saying it looks like there will be blood, too.
Yeah. Okay. It's got that kind of tone.
Yeah. It's got that kind of tone, and DiCaprio's voice has kind of changed, you know, it's sort of a lower register. So that's what a friend of mine said. There will be blood, too.
Yeah. Okay.
He meant inside the theater.
I mean, I'm in.
Yeah,
I'm in. I'm going to watch it.
Can
you see the wolves? I can't.
I was worried he was going to do Django voice, and he didn't do Django voice.
No.
He went to a different voice, so it was good.
All right, Joe, thank you. Bounce house businessman jailed for firebombing his rivals. James Belcombe, 58, was jailed for up to 11 years on Thursday for firebombing his competitors' businesses.
Damn. Cutthroat.
The court heard that James even commissioned a man named Craig Anderson to burn his own company after becoming worried that police would find it suspicious that he hadn't been targeted by the fires.
This guy's a mastermind.
Damn.
I shall own all of the bounce houses and all of the land.
They shall have to come to me for their bounce house needs.
We'll have to destroy our own kingdom to keep it going.
Right. Make it look good. Get rid of us, too.
It is a bouncy castle.
And then from the proceeds, we'll build the biggest bounce house factory ever.
The court also heard that James would instruct Anderson to attack the same targets multiple times if the initial fire only caused minor damage.
Oh, man. Wow.
You know, I want these things burnt to the ground.
Yeah, this guy was out for blood.
Wow.
What a crappy hitman.
Maybe, really. First of all, his name is Christian Anderson. It's like, that would, like, you know.
That would actually be a funny movie if you take There Will Be Blood and you just change it from oil to bounce houses.
Right. There Will Be Bounce. That is a great movie.
And that one rival was hit three separate times.
Wow.
Molotov cocktail blaze completely gutted A&A jumping castles.
Wow.
Destroying 110 bounce houses. That had to be a horrible smelling fire.
Oh, yeah, right? Like a bad rubber.
We have to stop the happy fun time people.
It smelled like corn chips while the kid's stepping on it.
No, not the giant boo-boo kitty.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. There goes the inflatable slide.
There are amazing comments online about this on social media.
Oh, yeah?
My favorite is this guy. My fiance's a pediatric dentist. Bounce houses are her biggest moneymaker. Kids knock out their teeth, and we go to Europe.
Nice. Who knew bounce houses are profitable? Wow.
So that's A&A jumping castles.
Wow.
110 bounce houses destroyed, causing $1.4 million in damage.
Wow.
How bad's it going that you take that job as the guy who's going to blow up all the bouncy houses?
Low-level hitman.
Yeah, I'm in.
Arsonist.
I was hoping for something a little more serious than this, but all right.
Yeah.
This almost seems as complex as the plan to blow California off of the United States, so you now have...
That would have worked. That
coastline.
It is an evil genius.
That would have worked.
It's like, well, we're going to be able to charge whatever we want. Anderson was jailed for 8.5 years for his role in the crime wave.
What are you in for?
Yeah, I burned a bounce house.
Stunt or stupid?
All right, let's go down to the parking lot now where AJ is in two metal trash cans, one protecting his lower half, one the upper regions. And Pat Oates is down there with a paintball gun, and AJ is attempting to read famous parts from movies so well that Pat says, you know, I can't interrupt this with a paintball gun
right.
shot. So.
Yes.
All right, we're going to go on to script number two now. AJ, okay. We're ready.
Yes. Independence Day, President Whitmore's speech. Good morning. Good morning. In less than an hour, aircraft from here will join us from around the world, and you'll be launching the largest aerial battle in the history of mankind. Mankind, hey, that word should have new meaning for all of us. Hey! We can't be consumed by our petty differences anymore. We will be united in our common interest. Perhaps it's stated that today is the 4th of July, and you will once again be united for our freedom.
Is there something wrong with that gun?
Not oppression or persecution from annihilation. We are fighting for our right to live, to exist, and we win today. Bye-bye. Will no longer be known as an organization, but as a day when the world declared its mind. Now, we will not go quietly into the night.
Try to do a shot like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There you go. Now we're getting somewhere.
We're going to survive.
All right, we're good. We're good with Independence Day. We're good. We're
today, good.
That was my favorite one so far.
Independence Day.
Okay.
I'm standing up. Don't shoot.
Okay. Ceasefire. Okay. Script number three. Script number three.
Number three.
I just see papers on the ground down there. He's just throwing stuff around.
AJ will now be ringing for the role of Miss Norberry in Mean Girls.
Ah, Mean Girls.
What am I doing? Mean Girls?
Yes.
Okay. You know, they need to make wider trash cans. Here we go. Do not aim over here. Okay.
Got it?
Kind of. All right.
Oh, my God. I want to shoot you just for taking this long.
Regina George, every girl here is afraid of you. I'm afraid you have the time. I'm a girl. I guess.
Don't shoot. That's not in the script. Hold it. That's not in the script.
I didn't see that.
Don't shoot. It's not in the script.
Oh, he's legit doubled over right now.
Oh, really? Oh, damn it.
Right in the knee.
Oh, no, really?
The knee?
Yeah. My knee was up against the metal.
Part.
So when you shot the metal, it hit the metal to my knee.
Oh, the reverb gotcha?
Yep.
Oh, he's down. He's bent over right now.
You know,
isn't that a song by Duran Duran, the reverb?
You know, there's nothing like an injury to ruin a fun bit.
I'm good.
We may need to roll him back into the building in the can.
Okay. I'm not getting that. I'm fine. I'm standing. Here we go. All right. Roll smoking.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I think we should. I think we're good.
And give up show. Okay, no one's laughing.
Well, where did you get shot?
It hit. So his knee was inside the can, resting against it. And when Pat hit the can, his knee was flush with it.
Oh.
So yeah, he took a good one there.
All right, what do you want to do?
Let's do some more.
All right.
Just maybe try not to aim for my knees. I know it's the fun part. There's no fun in theater.
You know, once you're in the can, we can't tell what part of your body is in there.
Yes. Aim from upper. Okay, cool. All right,
next script.
We're going to continue.
Next script.
Okay, next script. I need a shower. I'm all covered in, like, soot and paint.
AJ's in the parking lot now. Doing a trash can test screen. Two metal garbage cans protecting him from an onslaught of paintball.
I like that his number one complaint is that the garbage can is not clean enough.
There is some serious dents in these cans, man. I don't think we're gonna get the money back from Home Depot.
All right, next script. Let's keep it moving.
Next script. Devil's Advocate. All right, can me.
Oh, AJ, this is for you, buddy.
Can me.
Can me. We're canning AJ in the parking lot now. The metal garbage can's going over his head. And
like he's our latest IPA.
And there's that little 2-inch gap there. If a paintball gets in there, man, you are so effed.
That's why I told Pat to aim up.
Aim up. Okay.
Yep. Are you ready?
Yes. Pat, you should get closer.
What are you carrying all those bricks for anyway? God! 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 God!
That looks like Bonnie and Clyde's car right now at the end of the movie.
God likes to watch. He's a prankster. Think about it.
Are you driving through a hailstorm right now?
Perfect Gabriel. He sets the rules of opposition. It's the goof of all time.
Pat's gotten really good at that.
He's a tight ass. He's a sadist. He's an absentee landlord.
The paint spraying everywhere is amazing.
Why not? I'm here on the ground with my nose here since the whole thing began. I've nursed every sensation that it's inside the head.
Okay. All right, AJ.
And I never touched him.
AJ, congratulations.
Great job, AJ.
Nice job.
Okay.
Great job, Pat.
Pat's become a very good operator of that paintball gun. Holy smokes. All right, we'll see you guys up here if you could walk. Matt and Prospect.
Hey, what's up, fellas? So, fifth grade, I was mediocre at best as a little league player. Come up in the playoffs, and bases loaded, two outs. Coach tells me, hey, if you're going to get a hit, now's the time to do it. Had the best hit of my life. Smacked it way far into the outfield. Running around the bases. There's no fences, so you just got to make it around the bases. Hit a grand slam, come all the way in. My teammates are mobbing me. Best day of my life. Then the umpire called me out because I didn't step on home plate.
No!
Man.
There is...
Oh! They're a stickler for that.
That's, I mean, it's like some of the basic rules of the game.
But their mom, you know, that whole touch the plate thing.
The best day of his life.
His life was over, man. That was it.
So I got to pay him off for it.
Hey, life ref, was
keep,
over.
Ref, keep it fair. Here's a 20.
Now, I'm guessing if that happened around here, you still hear about it.
Yes, you would.
Yeah, it was out on Long Island. I grew up out there in, like, that Page area.
Okay,
and,
good.
You know, it was way before cell phones. Yeah,
you kind of got to move.
That's
it. That's it. That's what you're branded with that.
Yep.
I see that age.
Yeah.
Hey, home plate. Yeah, home plate.
Yeah.
You know, it's the only base that doesn't move.
Yeah.
That's just you can't miss that one.
Hey, HP. Hey, HP.
Yeah, even when you're playing with your friends, like, I'm going home. Do you know where it is?
Yeah.
You sure you can find it?
Don't forget to step in it. Don't forget to step inside of it.
I hit the peak and the absolute low of my baseball career all in the same day.
Nice.
Right in the same play.
Nice. Same play. Yeah.
Greatest moment.
Yeah.
Oh, you're running around the bases. Everyone's going nuts.
Yep.
Like the teammates are there. I finally did it.
Right.
I did something important.
They're going to worship me forever.
You're out.
What? Yeah, it was like that book, The Best Times, Worst in Times.
You went from, I'm getting all the ladies, I'm getting none of the ladies. Like right there.
Exactly right.
So they couldn't, someone couldn't just say, go over and touch first base, right?
They were jumping around mobbing them, so they probably just missed that one. You know what I mean?
That's why they call them umpires.
That's a great story. I mean, you know, now you can look back and laugh.
Back then, not so much. Did they take your sneaker laces?
It still stings.
It still stings.
I wake up every day and go, damn it, that day.
That day.
Just think, you could end up becoming a Major League Baseball player. The whole life could have been totally different.
That's right. But, your whole life.
But have a good day at work.
What do you do now for a living?
Cry.
I'm going to go totally at my 9-to-5 now, so.
What do you do for 9-to-5?
I'm in law enforcement, actually.
Nice.
Oh, good.
Like I said, I didn't joke at all.
Tase all those people who laughed at you.
There you go. Yes. You see, even the guy from Foot Locker has an umpire.
You look like someone who would laugh at someone at a baseball game. You get a ticket.
Like, I think it was a home invasion. Home.
Couldn't know. Tail lights out all of a sudden. Smash.
All right, Matt. Thank you. That's a great story, man.
All right, y'all. Have a great day.
You too, man.
Right,
thanks so much.
Yeah.
Even in the major leagues, it happens, though, where, like, the players have to touch the base, obviously. So, like, even if it's a walk-off home run, the fans used to get excited.
Yeah.
And back in the old days when, like, they could just pour onto the field, there are moments where players are around in second base, and then there's just 1,000 people coming towards them. So it's just forearms to the face. It's like, get out of my way.
Yeah,
just let me touch the bases.
We'll celebrate later. You can hump my leg later.
I'm going to knock your teeth out if you don't get out of my way.
That's why you see sometimes you see the guy just kind of jump on it, like, bam.
We're talking Little League stories, your best or worst play, crazy parent, zany play, 203-882-9757. Danny Mack.
Hey, good morning, you guys.
Hey, good morning.
Yeah, hey, yeah. I coached Little League for about 20 years. You know,
really?
Both of my sons. I coached both of my sons.
Oh, cool.
And I always had like the hooligan kids. They call them beach kids here in Milford.
Yeah.
So you had the Bad News Bears,
basically. Yeah.
Yeah, I would take all the kids that other parents, coaches were scared of or whatever. You know.
Good for you.
It's about. So one day we're playing a game and the kids in the other dugout they're starting to beat us. The kids in the other dugout starts going We will rock you. They keep chanting that.
Yeah.
So my kids turn around, start going, rock your mothers, rock your mothers. I turn around. I got the scorebook and stuff. I'm coaching, you know.
Right.
I says, all right, you guys, that's pretty funny, but you got to stop. There's mothers in the bleachers.
Mom's saying, shut up. You don't want to get rocked.
Most action I'm getting.
Yeah.
I like that the coach is like, hey, man, I get it. This is funny, but we.
This is good stuff.
Good stuff.
Another time I was doing coach pitch, you know, where the coaches pitch to the kids who are about 8 years old or so. And it was going to be real hot that day, and I didn't have any shorts. So I wake up my wife. I says, can you cut these sweatpants for me? And she wouldn't get up. She worked late, you know.
Yeah.
So I cut them myself. And I'm left-handed. I was never good with scissors. So I get to the game. You know, and all the moms in the stands are doing the wave and all this stuff. You know, after about the third inning, one of my coaches goes, hey, Dan, did you know your gonads are hanging out?
you know?
Ball two! And, what kind of signal is that?
They weren't doing the wave, goes, dude. They were getting your attention.
They're going, hey, your pants!
Let's go, Nets!
Let's go, Nets!
You didn't notice it felt a little cold?
I can
so
tell
then
you.
My wife shows up. Yeah, but my
that's
wife
a two bagger.
His wife showed up. His wife showed up, right.
Everybody started calling him Danny Sack.
And right. She goes, what are you wearing? I says, I told you to get up and cut my pants for me. You know?
Oh, so it was her fault.
I says, this is your fault. Yes. Yeah.
And you even tried to blame it on being left handed.
Right.
You're like, I'm left handed. I'm not good with scissors.
Right.
Like,
well,
okay.
I went to Catholic grammar school, so I was always getting, you know, picked on for being a lefty with, by the nuns, you know? Right. They thought it was evil or something.
Yeah, they can clearly see you're nuts.
Daisy Duke sweatshorts are never cool.
So, all right, Danny. Yeah. Great story.
Right, thanks a lot, you guys.
Thank you, man.
That was ballsy.
You maniac.
203-882-9757. Little League stories. Could be yours, could be your kids. Jason Waterbury.
Yeah, how you doing? I coached high school soccer and baseball for 15 years. So
Thank you for that.
I pretty much love it. And I love small ball. I'm one that'll do a suicide squeeze. I know some coaches won't do it. So I was one of the assistant coaches on this team. That year I decided to coach my younger son's team. So I'm with my older son. My older son's on third base. He's taken off from first. So the other coach gave some sign for him to take it off from third, headed to the plate, and the batter takes a full swing at the ball.
Luckily,
someone out there knows. Luckily, it was a clean single over the shortstop head. Not one of my proudest moments, but I went absolutely bonkers on the head coach because you could literally kill someone doing that.
And that's where T-ball's invented.
This is where, like, I see the I love watching the Little League World Series, and you see, hey, Mom and Dad, come and volunteer and coach your team. This is where you do need to know the game a little, and as much as the excitement of a suicide squeeze is good, that batter's got to either be dropping the bunt or taking the pitch.
Yeah.
You cannot be taking a foot. And like I said, not one of my proudest moments. The catcher or the umpire of that game was actually one of my high school kids from a few years back. And, I mean, he knew how I felt about the suicide squeeze and stuff, but this is where, and any parent volunteering, there are some cases where you do need to know something about the game before you can potentially kill a kid.
Became a sacrifice fly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like I said, not one of my proudest moments with Little League, but it's one that I'm never going to forget.
No.
Yeah, no, and I'm glad you called it in. That's what we're doing.
Exactly.
Yeah, we're just talking over here.
Yep.
The good, the bad, the ugly.
Exactly.
Little League stories.
Yes,
so thank you for that.
Ugly. Yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't as ugly as Danny Mac's gonads.
No.
Thank you, Jason.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.